Welcome to Liberty Chats.
So this is Stephen Jelm with the Emerging Leaders Council with the Steamboat Institute. I'm sitting down today with one of the youngest legislators in Oklahoma, Representative Daniel Pay. Daniel and I became close actually at the Steamboat Conference this last year. And I just wanted to sit down with him and pick his brain on several different topics. First, what it's like to be a younger member of the Oklahoma legislature and what that has looked like for him, but also to glean wisdom from him and learn from his experiences as we try to pour into the next generation of future leaders. Daniel, would you like to say a few words?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Stephen, for the opportunity to visit with you and appreciate the Steamboat Institute for connecting us last summer at the Freedom Conference. And now we're both members of the Emerging Leaders Council. And so it's been cool to meet other young leaders from across the country who are passionate about service, about policy making, and how we can all work together. So I've been in office now going on 6 years. It's hard to believe, but it's flown by very fast. But it's an honor to serve the Latonians in House District 62, which is in Southwest Oklahoma.
That's awesome. So kind of backing up a little bit, tell me what your thought process was and your heart posture as you decided to run for office. What went into that decision, and was it hard to make the decision? What did that look like?
So this was not part of my original life plan. So I was committed to going to medical school. I was pre-med my first semester at the University of Oklahoma. And before that, I was born and raised in Lawton. My mom and dad immigrated from South Korea in the 1980s, and they opened up a dry cleaning business. We all in the military community, serve a lot of soldiers in our area, and they wanted to go into dry cleaning, which they've been doing since 1989. So I grew up there, went through Lawton public schools, and then attended college at OU. But after the first semester of being pre-med, I decided, after a lot of prayer and thought, that it was not the right path for me. I think, you know, if you want to commit yourself to that type of journey, you got to be all in, and I just wasn't there. So I went back after the holidays, freshman year, undeclared as a major, which can be scary as a young person.
For sure.
But I decided to get more involved in student government. I just followed my curiosity, met one of my good friends, John Michael Montgomery, that way. And took American federal government and decided, you know, this is pretty cool. The notion of public service, trying to give back to one's community. And I found the policy making process very interesting. You take ideas and you try to translate them into policies, into law. So I switched to economics and political science, tagged on a master's degree in public administration by the end of it all. Had internship opportunities in Washington, D.C. for Congressman Tom Cole. And then for John, when he got elected to the State House in 2014.
Right.
And so I graduated in 2017 from OU, and I started working in city government, which is where I thought I would spend my 20s as a career. And then John got married the summer of 2017. We were catching up, and he told me about his plans of running for state senate in the next election cycle. And he highly encouraged me to think about running myself as a candidate. So I prayed about it, talked to my mom and dad about it, and felt we absolutely need younger people at the decision-making table.
Certainly.
We absolutely need people who are willing to focus on good policy. I think there's too much politics nowadays, focusing on the next election, not necessarily the next generation. So I took the plunge in 2018, knocked on thousands of doors, and won by 42 votes at the end of it.
42 votes. That's so a pretty narrow margin.
It's a very stressful election night, as you might imagine. But it's been 6 years now, and I've really enjoyed the opportunity to work on a wide variety of issues, whether that's criminal justice reform, food insecurity on college campuses, human trafficking, more recently AI. But I think as a policymaker, one of the most important characteristics is having intellectual curiosity and just willing to see past partisanship and political affiliation and focus on how can we help our fellow Oklahomans and our fellow Americans. And in Oklahoma, we're limited to 12 years at most in these positions. So I'm 6 years in now. And
halfway,
yeah. Have the confidence and experience to really do a lot of good work. But it's important to recognize the fact that we're only in these positions for a limited amount of time. And so while we're in these positions, we should be doing the hard things. We should be doing the things that will make a generational impact. Mm. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
I love that. I love that. So tell me, as you took these classes at OU after having made a pretty significant change in your studies, what ended up being your focus from a policy standpoint? What were those policies that you were really fired up to pursue change within, and what was your heart posture behind the policy change pursuit?
So I mentioned criminal justice reform, and that was a topic that I first explored for my master's program. You know, for our capstone project, we were in a group, and we decided to tackle this issue. At the time, we were number one in incarceration in the entire world, not just the country, but the entire world.
Yeah.
And so that was fascinating to me as far as how did we get to that point, and surely there's a way that we can address that horrible statistic. And look to what other states have done. So we did a lot of research on Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas, other southern states that have made remarkable progress when it comes to corrections, and see what recommendations we could provide to the legislature. And again, this is before I ever contemplated running for office as a candidate myself. But that was very useful now being in the policymaking position where we were part of an effort to reduce our incarceration rate significantly during the past 6 years. So we're no longer number one, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And I believe a big part of that shift has been the focus on rehabilitation. Realizing that there are a lot of people struggling with mental health and addiction who are stuck in our criminal justice system, and simply locking those people up and throwing away the key is not good policy. And so focusing on rehabilitation, as well as once people exit the system, how do you make sure they're empowered to re-enter the workforce and not re-enter the prison system? Mm. And so I've got a bill focusing on tuition aid eligibility for incarcerated students, for those who choose to seek a degree or a skill or a trade while they're finishing their sentence. So we should absolutely encourage that because it does reduce recidivism. It does reduce the cost to government. And a bill I'm focused on this session in particular is right now in Oklahoma, it varies county by county when it comes to if you're a person who is detained and held in custody, you could be charged with a crime within 10 days, 5 days, 72 hours, it varies county by county. So the bill will standardize that to say that if you're in custody, you have to be charged with a crime within 5 days. Mm. To me, that makes sense from a due process perspective. And just having a peace of mind for people in those situations. So criminal justice reform, I've never considered it as a binary choice between tough on crime or soft on crime.
Right.
I believe you can be smart on crime. Mm-hmm. And this has transcended political lines significantly. That's what's led to progress in Oklahoma the past few years, and I've been proud to be a part of those efforts. And it all started when I was a grad student.
Wow.
Just learning about it theoretically, hypothetically, and now being in a position where I get to decide what direction we go and help out with other colleagues who are equally passionate about this issue.
I love that. So kind of talking about, you referenced those extremely low recidivism rates that we now have.
Second in the entire country, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible feat. Mm-hmm. But as you said, that is only possible because of the work that you all have done working across the aisle with your fellow Oklahomans. So could you speak further into that and what that has looked like to work with those across the aisle for the common good of all Oklahomans?
Absolutely. I think that's important to remember, you know, before we're Democrats and Republicans, we're first and foremost Oklahomans and Americans. Mm. And we got to remember that sense of unity now more than ever. And it has been fun, just in terms of getting to know colleagues from all across the state, in both political parties, and in both chambers. And that is a key ingredient to success in politics, is building relationships and getting to know each other on a personal level. Because you build trust, you build respect for one another that way. And I've got a theory when it comes to politics that when it comes to food and TV shows, you can find something to talk about and to find interest in. And so I always like to take freshmen out to lunch, and I'm a big foodie myself, so I always try to find good local restaurants in Oklahoma City Metro And also, I mean, there's a bunch of TV shows that are always on streaming now. And I remember first year we had a group that watched Game of Thrones.
Oh,
That was the
wow.
final season back in 2019. It wasn't a good final season, in my opinion, but it's still good hanging out with everyone and trying to get to know each other on a more personal
note.
It's
about the community.
Absolutely. It's about the community. It's about the fellowship. And I will also emphasize, in Oklahoma, we have many young, talented leaders, both Democrats and Republicans. You know, yesterday we just elected Representative Kyle Hilbert to be the next Speaker designate. He will turn 30 later on this month. He's the youngest Speaker designate we've elected in state history.
Wow.
I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
We need younger people to be involved in politics, and hopefully people like Kyle and then myself can demonstrate that young people have a role to play in government, because these decisions right now that we're making, they're going to shape what's going to happen in the next 20 to 50 years from here on out. And so having people who have those perspectives, and Kyle, he's got a young family who understand the issues that many Oklahomans are facing, that's important. And I think young people understand that at the end of the day, you have to work together. You have to find common ground in order to get government function. And that's why I like being at the state level. And I will say for the record, I have no interest in federal politics.
All right.
I've been to DC many times now, and it's a great place to visit. And I personally respect all of the members of Congress as a delegation. And that's just something I'm not really thinking about in the future. I like where I'm at in the House. I had a chance to run for higher office last summer for state Senate, but I declined because I like being in the people's house and I like what I'm doing in this position.
I love that. So talking about the changes that you've seen since becoming a member of the legislature, I mean, you've seen a lot of changes. With both state government, federal government, policy changes have happened on a pretty significant level over the past several years, the past 6 years since you've been in office. Talk to me about what you are most encouraged about with the changes that you've seen thus far, and what you're encouraged about as we look forward.
And I will give credit to Governor Kevin Stitt because of his vision from day one to try to make us a top 10 state in all these different categories, education, health, criminal justice reform, you name it. And so I think by setting the tone from the get-go and emphasizing that Oklahoma has a great story to tell, we have tremendous people, abundant resources, we have a lot to tell the rest of the country when it comes to how we can govern effectively and how we can invest for future generations. And so I think by coming in with that type of vision, alongside, we had the largest freshman class in 2018 out of 101 representatives, 47 were completely new for one reason or the other.
So I didn't realize
that. We were the largest freshman class. I think that injected into the system more pragmatism, more willingness to consider different ideas. And I do think as a legislator, it's important to treat the job as a student, meaning that you should always be open to new ideas and learning more about policy on any given subject matter. And that's why I know last summer when we were in Beaver Creek for the Freedom Conference, so we learned about a whole range of different topics and heard from many, many different leaders from across the country. And that's something that I've done personally over the years, is try to go to those types of conferences and programs and learn. Because learning is not something when you graduate college and high school, that doesn't mean you're finished with learning.
Right.
You should always be challenging yourself to learn and to grow as a leader and thinker. And so I do appreciate what the Steamboat Institute offers when it comes to that. And also encouraging civil discourse and having those difficult conversations on issues that we disagree with. The founders disagreed profoundly on many different subject matters, but
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, they came together to form the basis of our government. I think that's something that we have to remember. I think certainly in Oklahoma, since I've been in office, you have that attitude and that leadership approach where, yes, we're going to disagree on a few issues, but there are other issues that we can agree upon, and we should put aside our differences and work together to move forward.
Absolutely. And I think that we've seen a lot of progress in so many different areas with virtually every area of policy within the state of Oklahoma. And I'm glad you brought up how young our legislature is. And I actually wasn't aware of that statistic. So that's super encouraging to hear. And as we look forward, particularly, and this may be a little bit myopic, but as we look at just this session, and you can touch on future years to come as well, but what are you hoping to accomplish through this year's, through this session as a legislator?
Well, my number one bill for this session is the Fighting Chance for Firefighters Act. It came from a constituent, and right now in Western Oklahoma, our firefighters are battling significant wildfires because of the weather. And so firefighters get exposed to many chemicals, carcinogens, and smoke, and they develop cancer at a much higher rate than other professions do. And so the bill as proposed and written would cover the cost for cancer screenings for all different firefighters. And I personally learned a lot about insurance policy over the past few weeks and months to craft the bill in a way that makes sense, that minimizes fiscal impact. But that is my number one priority, is getting that bill across the finish line. Secondarily, I hope that we can begin having a conversation on artificial intelligence. Myself, along with a few other colleagues, have filed a wide variety of AI-related bills. We're not trying to discourage innovation in the private sector. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is put some parameters and guardrails in place so that there isn't any abuse or misuse of this technology to the best extent as possible. Because AI has tremendous potential when it comes to increasing productivity and efficiency.
Certainly.
But I think personal privacy should also be considered. And this will be in 2024, the first election where we see AI truly play out. It will be the first AI election, much like 2008 was the first social media election. And we have to be mindful of what's to come. I would rather us be proactive than reactive when it comes to this ongoing technology. So hopefully, you know, we lay the groundwork when it comes to having that discussion and better educate our colleagues on why it's so important to tackle this head on.
I love that. Well, to kind of finish us off here, you mentioned earlier that you're kind of a foodie, and
yep.
and you love a good spot to eat, whether that's a well-known place or a hole in the wall that you just discovered. There's certainly something special about breaking bread with those that are in your community to gather in fellowship. So tell me, what are your top 3 to 5 favorite places to eat in Tulsa or Oklahoma City?
Great question, Stephen. So last night I had dinner at Basil Mediterranean Cafe. It's a little hole in the wall on 23rd Street.
Okay.
So excellent Mediterranean food. I love Social Capital. It's got a great view of the Oklahoma City skyline and Sisseteo Park, especially on a nice summer day. It's great to be out on the patio. And then as far as I'll give Tulsa a shout out.
Okay, yeah.
So I think Dilly Diner. I do like Dilly Diner quite a bit. It's got, you know, that old school diner feel, and it's a pretty good place. I should mention the place in Lawton, so I represent Lawton.
Certainly.
So I think if you're looking for a good classic hamburger, stop by Burgess Grill. Burgess Grill has been there for many, many years. Excellent burgers. Definitely put that on your list. But yeah, anytime you're in Oklahoma, certainly come by. And I've got a whole spreadsheet.
That's right. You sent it to me.
Yeah, when it comes to best restaurants and bars I've personally been to in the Oklahoma City Metro and in Lawton as well. But yeah, I think food brings together so many different people, and that's why I consider myself a foodie.
I love that. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down today and talk about your experiences and to share your wisdom with all of our listeners. And once again, I had the privilege of sitting down with Daniel Pay, one of Oklahoma's youngest legislators. Thank you all for listening. See you next time.